Okay, this is part of our series, Exploring the Internet. Jim did his part on the movie databases, and I'm doing part on travel, which we won't finish tonight because there are tons and tons of travel-related websites. They're everywhere. Some of them would interest anyone, even those who cannot or do not want to travel. You can travel vicariously by using websites. The photos taken there are by professionals, and they're better than the ones that you would get because they've got perfect lighting and perfect weather. You never have that when you're taking your photos, right? Anyway, for example, if you hear of a good art or other exhibit in another city and they're not about, it's not going to come to Los Angeles, you can often see a lot of it online. In fact, I went to Seattle recently and saw a wonderful museum of this fellow named Dale Chihuly. And now, in order to click this, I'm actually no good at, yeah, is that how I do it? Oh, okay. And found that he had things all over the world. You never saw so many exhibitions of his wonderful art. I don't normally like modern art, but he does glassware in just fantastically beautiful ways. And every time you go to his website, there are different things there. I've done that several times today. And if you click on, go up a little bit. Well, wait a minute. Go all the way down. See if there's some stuff about the other place. Okay. Go back to, go up a little bit, Jim, and hit Explore there under Exhibitions. No, in the middle section. I'm sorry, that was, yeah, there. And this will show you that he has stuff all over the country and probably the world. Nebraska, Arkansas, New York, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see much more here than I could even see being traveling in Seattle. So anyway, moving on to our next picture. If your friend or family member is traveling somewhere that you don't want to go or can't go to, you can explore the area comfortably from your home at essentially no cost. Even if you don't organize the trips you take, you can use the Internet to get information to evaluate any trips proposed to you and possibly make them better or avoid ones that aren't worth your time and money. Every place and most significant organizations and companies have websites. Many of them have travel-related information. So I've made a list of that various kinds of websites here. For example, there are geographically based ones like every country in many regions, smaller governmental units, localities, parks, etc. have websites or parts of other entities' websites describing themselves. All you have to do is Google the name of the place plus travel or tourism, and other countries have sets of national parks too. So there's just infinite amount of information out there that you can travel. Don't go further back. Okay. Then there are tourist promotion offices exist for all locations seeking tourists. You can download information and brochures and probably ask questions. National government travel offices are online, and often they have lists of your offices in major U.S. cities, which for most major countries includes either San Francisco or Los Angeles. To plan a trip, you need to determine your goals. There are many kinds of trips. What kind do you want now? For example, I say now because I take more than one trip a year and I do different kinds of trips at different times. Anyway, there are trips for the average tourist, such as beaches, nature, or seeing famous places like the Eiffel Tower. There are tours for seniors and sometimes disabled tourists, particularly Rhodes Scholar, which was formerly Elder Hostel, and some major travel companies and AARP. AARP doesn't actually have tours, but they will do things for you, like order your hotel and order your transportation and stuff like that. So they'll sort of put things together and give you discounts, but it's not a group tour as it might be for Rhodes Scholar and some of the commercial programs. Then there are nature and exploration tours, of which I've just listed a very few of the many entities that do this. Sierra Club, birding tours, Antarctica tours, Earthwatch, which does scientific and archaeological research, local and major natural history museums, including the Smithsonian, Nature Conservancy, Ocean Conservancy, National Geographic, mountain climbing, etc. And some companies, especially places like Africa, specialize in these kinds of tours. Then, of course, there's specialized cultural tours. You want to see a lot of art or hear a lot of music or go to plays or dance. And Road Scholar and probably others have city highlight tours, so you can spend a week just seeing Paris or something like that, or American cities. Sports, both participatory sports and observing sporting events is available. Other hobbies and their conventions, or people want to go to Vegas to gamble or whatever. Okay. Then there are community service tours. Road Scholar has some, including archaeology, Sierra Club, Earthwatch, Doctors Without Borders, Ocean Conservancy. And these are, while you're doing something, you may get a discount on how much you pay, which the Sierra Club does. But sometimes you are also sort of paying some of the expenses of the whole operation. But anyway, it's tax deductible as a charitable contribution if you itemize. Then there are professional conventions and skill enhancement tours, often organized by professional groups, and those are potentially tax deductible. The only American Bar Association convention I ever attended was in Hawaii, but anyway. If you like cruises, that's another alternative. There's some, depends partly on how much you like cruises. Some people like to do it all the time. I am not that much of a cruise person, but there are certain kinds of cruises which are the best thing for that particular thing that you're seeing. So, for example, if you want to see the Inland Passage between Vancouver and southern Alaska, that is a boat trip. You cannot even get to Juneau by land, the capital of Alaska. Not land bound, but anyway, Antarctica involves water. Norwegian fjords I've been on. The trip I took was right after I saw Song of Norway. Song of Norway showed beautiful pictures with all these colors and all these graphics and good weather and such. Well, really, it was a little foggier and a little rainier than that. But anyway, C'est la vie. That happens when you travel. You can be sailing between islands in various places, such as the Galapagos, parts of the Caribbean, the South Pacific, Hawaiian Islands, or Mediterranean. Or you can be sailing up a river like the Nile or the Yangtze or other exotic rivers, the Mekong. Or there are inland river and canal cruises in Europe and America, such as going up the Rhine, or down the Rhine, up the Rhine, whatever. The Danube, the Mississippi, etc. Another way of doing it is to take a luxury cruise to avoid the hassles of land and air travel. This is especially good for older folk who might want to see a place without frequently changing hotels, vehicles, and cities every few days. Don't see Nancy here, but Nancy Cattell took a trip down the east coast of India and up the west coast of India. And so she never had to change hotels and stuff like that, which is wonderful for somebody who was in their 90s. And yet she had a wonderful trip. Brought back some beautiful photos that she showed us in the photo sig. There are other reasons. A cruise can be a relatively cheap way of getting where you want to go. I went to Rome from Los Angeles for about $500 on a cheap fare because I was doing an archaeology trip for Earthwatch in Pisa. The fare from Rome to Sicily was $500, and I said, that's too much. So I took a train down Italy, and I came back on the ferry and saved myself a couple $100. So anyway, that was interesting. People used to take ferries around the Mediterranean anyway. I do suggest that you avoid taking a ship across very choppy routes between places. I had one of my worst nights of my life going between Dublin and Liverpool because the water, it was bad weather to be sure, but it was also the narrow passages with water going through them sometimes can be very rough. And the tip of South America has the same issue. Anyway, cruises are rated like anything else, but since I don't regularly take them, I don't know the best websites to recommend. But remember that you are at the mercy of the ship and local vendors, and some of your excursions off the boat, particularly in the Caribbean, can be more expensive than you really expected. But you have to ask, and what I say again and again is ask questions, because if you ask questions, you can sometimes find out these things. Okay, you can use websites to evaluate tours and tour companies and tour sponsoring organizations. First place, any competent business or entity should have a decent website that works most of the time. If a travel company doesn't have a decent, reasonably up-to-date website, you may not want to use it. And you want to deal always, particularly since you don't know these people particularly well, with experienced, financially strong companies. And if you can't find a company's website, it's probably out of business. And that happened to me when a friend recommended a particular company for some Indian tourism and looked it up in the email with the URL she gave me, looked it up in directories, looking up this, that, and the other way, could not find it. And apparently just went out of business. So I ended up hiring a similar company that was a contractor for Lufthansa. And I figured if it's good enough for Lufthansa, it's probably good enough for me. And it turned out to be a very good company. Let me finish the next paragraph, you'll get the TripAdvisor. It's at the bottom of the page here. Reviews. Websites often contain reviews of things to see, places to visit, museums, galleries, exhibits, restaurants, hotels, and other lodging, tours, travel companies, etc. The reviews are done by amateurs who are supposed to be neutral and not paid by the evaluated entities or their competitors. I recommend that you look for and read reviews. They can be wrong. The thing that they complain about may have been corrected, but there also are times when things that are wrong don't get reported. And I know there are a couple of times when I meant to report something to somebody and I never got around to doing it. They can be very helpful and they can save you some bad experiences. Anyway, Mark recommends that we do TripAdvisor. Jim, can you click that link in the bottom of the page? This is only one of many websites that does reviews, but it does lots of reviews, partly because they cover lots of subjects and partly because they cover the whole world. But you can see up here that they sell hotels, flights, vacation rentals, restaurants, things to do, best of 2017, and who knows what more comes to, and this doesn't work that way. But anyway, and all of these things there are reviews for. And if we want to enter a destination, do we have time? Yeah, okay. Does somebody want to enter a destination? Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, Jim. And what are you looking for in Memphis? Charlie Daniels Park. Things to see in Memphis. Do we have a things to see? Travel guide? Okay. Things to do. Okay. Enter destination or hotel name, Memphis. But they're always trying to get to do a hotel, yeah, even though you'd rather find out about the city before you do. Because then you want to have a place that's somewhere near your hotel or at least commutingly close to your hotel. We're going back to... I'm sorry, I must be pressing the wrong button on this. Yeah. Okay. Keep my hand off of that when I'm not using it. Okay. It's a park. Is it a nature park? What did you call it? Well, we have... Elvis Presley seems to have a lot of stuff there. And Catholic churches. and various other things. Anyway, now you see those marks there where there are five places, some of which are filled in or not. Well, it's sort of a four-star, four-and-a-half-star kind of rating.
Stephanie?
Yes.
I just returned from Roatan, Honduras. Yes. We found our hotel and our dive center, scuba diving center, and the restaurants we went to on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
When we returned, we in turn added reviews of the hotel, the restaurants, and the dive center, and Roatan in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm learning more and more people are using it to find places to stay. You can even find reviews of the airline,
mm-hmm.
in case you're just trying to decide between, as I was, United Airlines and Avianca.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and did you like its recommendations?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was great. It was really helpful.
I used it for my India trip, along with another gal that I was going with. And so we would check things out and contact each other and say, what do we like or dislike? Okay. What did you want, Annette? Say it to him. Yeah.
There it is.
4.5 stars.
There was a Charlie Daniels TripAdvisor down below it.
Number one of 9 things to do in a little area called Mount Juliet. And a certificate of excellence, it means somebody likes it a lot. And there's the park. And some photos. Okay, here you see the way the visitor ratings went. Sometimes they go all the way down to terrible, but you try to see where the main ones are. And then you try to see why people liked or disliked something. If they thought it was great Cajun food, and I don't like Cajun food, that's not going to help me any. I mean, it means I probably want to avoid the place. And sometimes things are good for children. And I'm not a child, and I'm not bringing any children, so I don't pay much attention to those places. I want a park that has trees and birds and things like that, as opposed to noisy children. But everybody has their preferences, you know. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well done, Jim. Thank you very much.
Question. Actually, it's a recommendation of Rhodes Scholar, which used to be mm-hmm. Elder Hostel. I've been over many, many years, about 15 of their trips, and they are terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they cover the entire range of things. If you're interested in Shakespeare, there's a Shakespeare festival someplace, and they provide great instruction. It goes from Shakespeare. If you want to play tennis, you can take tennis lessons with them. So the range is absolutely terrific, both in the United States and out of the country. Just went to Costa Rica with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also for people like me who don't want to plan.
Mm-hmm.
They take
mm-hmm.
care of the planning. Some people love to plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and they take care of it. And it's it's very reasonable compared to other travel. So if those of you who are interested.
And it's reasonable in the sense that it covers your meals so that you don't have a lot of unplanned expenditures or unplanned expenditures for tips and stuff like that.
That's right.
So it'll cost you several hundred dollars less than some other trip that might look like it's the same, but has all these other expenditures.
It includes all tips, though sometimes you want to tip the guide or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got speakers. When I went to Thailand many years ago, the dean of the medical school spoke with us. And they have real connections with universities, and the goal is teaching. But they're terrific.
I agree. I've taken several trips with Rhodes Scholars and like them very much.
I guess one of the issues, Stephanie, that a lot of us will be concerned about is the whole question of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Can you address that issue? Are there places that you would recommend that we would go to at this time, seeing the state of world events?
I will cover that a little bit later in the talk.
Okay, good. Thanks.
I'm a great believer in not going into places that are unsafe. There's no reason. It took me years to go to Israel. Some of my friends were going much earlier than I was, but to find a time when I could predict 3 months in advance that they weren't going to be a subject of a mini war of some sort, I waited a long time, and I did finally go in 1990. But, there are places that I would not go to, and you'll just have to wait. Okay. All right. Planning your travels. Where should you go? When should you travel? Okay. I think we lost the previous slide. Okay. Let me get back to this. Where should you go? Do you have a bucket list? Are there places that you've always meant to see? Or do you grab opportunities from friends or family members? Or just see some advertising in online or in publications I might like to do that. And then there's the question of whether you want to take a survey trip. You know, my first trip to Europe was, 6 countries in 30 days. Or do you want to take an in-depth trip and spend 3 weeks in a limited space in one or two countries? You can also often add a few days or a week at minimal cost because you've already paid for your airfare and perhaps your visa and shots if they were necessary. And then you need to ask yourself, what's your budget? Do you want to go luxuriously or mid-priced or as cheap as possible, preferably without getting sick? I make that my lower standard, you know. It's bad enough to have to smell Chinese toilets, but you don't want to get sick. You can safely travel fairly cheaply in the more developed countries. The year that I went to Israel, I also went to Egypt. The Egypt part of the trip, I went first class down the Nile in an excellent boat, first class hotels in Cairo and other places. Went to Israel. Yeah, anything will be fine because they're clean, you know. It's a modern country and they're clean. You know, they like to be clean. So, go ahead. Oh, wait a minute, you don't have a microphone.
Something we have done several times very enjoyably. The trip says, you have 3 days in Helsinki. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the schedule and you have 1 day in Helsinki, effectively, because you arrive late and leave early on the third day. Mm-hmm. So you can very often book with we traveled several times with UCLA Alumni Association.
Mm-hmm.
You can very often call them and say, hey, would you please book us at the same hotel? And they'll usually book you at the same hotel at the same rates, fly in a couple of days early, and boom, you have 3 days in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
Really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I've been with people who are going well across the world and anticipating having jet lag and things like that, who go an extra day early, and they were encouraging us to go an extra day early. It's particularly important if you are catching a tour, and especially a boat tour, because they will not wait for you, and there is no other plane that's going to get you. It's going to be very expensive if you miss it. So it's better to get there the extra day early. I did that on my India tour. I had a triangle tour in northern India, and they were getting us in at 1:30 in the morning and starting us at 9 o'clock that morning on a tour. And I said, this is ridiculous. Well, as it turned out, I got to the hotel at about 5:30 that morning. And boy, was I glad I had put an extra day there so that I could, get a night's sleep, or at least part of a night's sleep and a night's sleep the next night before I was really wandering around on an extensive tour of my 1 day in Delhi. Okay. All right, moving right on. You need to compare apples with apples, and so allow for the fact that some tours try to look cheap, but they have a lot of extras that you would have to pay for, and others do include the airfare, most of the meals, and most of the sites. And then I had this problem in Yugoslavia. The May Company used to have a tour system. I don't think they've done it in recent years because they were terrible. There's one palace outside Belgrade. You would think that you would see the one palace in the whole blooming country. No. The brochure apparently said view. So we drive by it and we could see it over there, 100 yards away. That is, so there's a difference between visit and view. And what he told me was, travel brochures will give you the maximum of what you're going to get on this trip, not necessarily the minimum of what you're going to get on the trip. So be careful of the way it's worded and read the small print, which I say later in this somewhere. Okay, next slide. When should you travel? Well, first, obviously, you have to know when you and your companion, if you have a companion, can go, what your schedule is, what vacation time you have. Then you ask yourself, how long a trip do you want and how long can you afford? That goes into, I'd like to go more frequently and less money per trip, but anywhere per day. Anyway, are you seeking an independent trip or something that you're just tacking on to another trip? And then there's the weather and climate issue, which there is a lot to say, and I have several slides on it. First, your guidebook may have only climate information quarterly, which isn't enough if you're not going in that particular month. The India book had January, April, July, and October. We were going in March. Heaven knows what it's going to be in March, so we had to get some more detailed information. Also, we found that global warming can adversely affect your trip. You may not have enough snow in some places, or it may be unseasonably hot, which is what we found out in Mumbai and Goa. I try to go in the most pleasant season, and I suggest that you try to avoid weather you don't like, depending on, you know, some people like snow and some people don't, you know, whatever, but weather you personally don't like, and the rainy season or monsoon season in the tropics. The off-season is usually cheaper, but it may be worse for other reasons, including the weather. And I'll go into that with an example a little bit later. Then the question is, what can you see when you, can you see what you want to see when you're there at the time you plan to go? And I say, do your homework. For example, many years ago, I took a trip to Scandinavia, and I says, well, I think I'll add Finland. When else am I ever going to be out in this neck of the woods? I want to see the Northern Lights. So the problem is that we went in the middle of the summer, and the Northern Lights are a winter phenomenon. So I did not see the Northern Lights. So we were in this terrible place that was not even a very good summer resort. We managed to talk our way out of it and go down to Amsterdam for a few days, even though that wasn't really allowed by the airfare, but they let us do it. Supposed to have a $10,000 fine, but we didn't get caught. And they didn't get caught. Anyway, the Galapagos Islands, according to the guidebooks, have calmer seas in the spring as opposed to the fall. East African wildlife has large herds which move around and you want to see them. Are they going to be in the park at the time you're going to be there? Is the weather okay for photography? I just rejected a trip that the Sierra Club is taking to East Africa next year because they put it in the middle of the off-season. And I looked at the off-season and says, it's so wet that you may not be able to get there because of the muddy roads. And you know you can't photograph through a lot of rain unless you want to take rain as opposed to pictures. And, you know, wildlife tends to be hiding when it rains anyway. So you,
Stephanie?
Yes?
One other suggestion.
Yeah?
If you want to find out security conditions in a country, the CIA World Factbook is unclassified, is available online.
Yes.
From guess who? The CIA.
Yes, yes.
It,
I'll get to
give
that.
You lots of information.
I'll get there. Okay, what happened to our slide here? I'm apparently pushing the wrong buttons. Okay. Okay, weather and climate. The best website for U.S. destinations is the National Weather Service of the National Oceanic and Operation Atmospheric Administration, which I think I will not go to because I'm not sure we're going to get finished. And the best for foreign is the World Weather address that I have there. And you can also Google for the country's own weather website, which might have more detail, or just you might understand it better. You never know. For health information, I recommend CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, which has an excellent website for travelers. They do it a number of different ways. It's partly designed for medical people and partly designed for ordinary people so that they have two tracks there. But you can find out anything about almost anything, including how recently the Zika virus has been wherever it might be and stuff like that if you're heading in that direction, which is one of the security issues is medical issues. Zika being one, dengue fever being one because it doesn't have a vaccine, and, you know, the various things that you do not want to get. And I also like Mayo Clinic's website just for general medical information because it's written intelligently and clearly and authoritatively, but something that we can understand and without having a medical background. Then you can also look at travel books and their websites, and LonelyPlanet.com is part of the books, Lonely Planet books, which go all over the world. RickSteves.com has written tons and tons of books about European travel. DKI Witness Travel is the book that I got for my India trip, and the DK series is beautiful. It has a lot of small but very interesting graphics and diagrams of everything that's in a country that's cultural, and it's very interesting. And then you can go to libraries for ebooks, which you can take with you on it, on your tablet, and regular books, which you can, so you don't have to buy a bird book to go to some place or something. You can borrow it from the LA Public Library, which I have done. So there, you can be on the book and be on the country or on whatever else you want it to be on. And of course, there's always Amazon. On the tablet thing, it comes in various formats. And I made the mistake of doing it a little too late when I was doing my Spanish trip. And it came in on the slide this way with only two. They were doing both pages of the book open, only they were only getting three quarters of the material. So this was not useful, because I was missing half of every other page. And if I wanted to do it close to the thing so that I'd get it back on time and stuff like that in terms of how long they let you borrow it. But on the other hand, you do need to have the whole book on your page so that you can actually use it on the trip, which my colleague did on this India trip, and it worked very nicely. Okay. Other things to reach. Here we get down to politics. Foreign. State Department has summaries of lots of things about American, about other countries on its website, which is just state.gov. You also, I recommend that you just keep up with newspapers or other news sources other than Facebook. The State Department website does have a link to the CIA country books that you're referring to. And they are really extensive. I printed it out for some place or another. And not only do they have statistics of every possible kind, that if you want to know how many people graduated from high school or something like that, I mean, anything you wanted that they might want to put in some report someplace, they have this unclassified source that you can pull it out of, 100 pages or something on a country. You know, it really is substantial. But it also includes, stuff that's more political, is who's been in power and for how long, and, you know, were they elected or were they a dictator, you know, whatever. Then there's a wonderful maps website called mapsofworlds.com. And you think you want a map, we wanted a map of Mongolia. Well, you had 15 or 20 to choose from. What more could you ask for an obscure place like Mongolia? And then, of course, other sources are National Geographic, Wikipedia, and Google, and Google Earth, and Google Maps. Okay, let's see where we're going from here. We can come back to the State Department website if we finish everything else. Ah, we're practically at the end. Okay, do your homework, keep reading, keep asking questions. Slower, more considered decisions are usually better decisions. Read the small print. Read the waivers of liability. I'm not a personal injury attorney, but I know about these things, and I am an attorney, and you could be injured or killed, and a court could apply the waiver of liability, which would leave your dependents with nothing for your injuries. Recognize that some areas have very poor medical facilities and should not be visited by people who have serious medical problems. One of the members of another group that I belong to sort of We learned like 6 months later that he died of a heart attack in somewhere in Southeast Asia. And if he had it here, he might have lived, he might have died, but, you know, there he had less chance of survival. I never learned the details of it, but he wasn't that old. He was in his 70s. Plan your trip well in advance if possible. This gives you more time to learn about where you're going and to get a passport, appropriate shots, and visas if needed. And these are the things that I'm not covering by going to particular websites because we don't have enough time, but we can do it in the second version of this talk, which is hotels and lodging and Airbnb, and I have used Airbnb successfully, meals, restaurants, transportation by all kinds of methods, evaluating tours, money questions, exchange rates. Google will tell you how much your 1,000 rupees are worth. You can give them any number in any currency, and they'll tell you how much it is in dollars. And you can go the opposite way as well. Sometimes you need permits for parks and stuff like that. Sometimes you need a visa. Sometimes it's automatic. Sometimes it's a hassle. But sometimes it's done here in India. There, you apply for it here, and then you wait in line for 2 hours in the middle of the night getting it, which was a damn nuisance. Anyway, hopefully they'll fix that. Shopping here and on your vacation, if you plan to buy something expensive abroad, such as jewelry or electronics, it helps to know its cost and something about it. I don't want to buy jewelry abroad without knowing that it really is real and stuff like that. So you need not only a decent seller, but you also would help them know something about the product. So this will get to Q&A. If there are any more questions, or if somebody wants us to go back to those other websites. Microphone.
It's on its way.
It's on its way.
This is a personal question. I wanted to visit Seville next year during Easter week. I saw some news on the news, and it's excellent.
Get closer. Hold it close. He wants to visit Seville on Easter week next year. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's going to be expensive.
I don't know. I wanted to, for example, I wanted to know if there is any site that you could recommend to.
You can go to any general site like TripAdvisor and ask for Spanish hotels, give the town Seville, give them the dates, and you will see what happens. There are numerous, like at least a dozen entities, hotels.com and Kayak and a whole bunch of them, and many of them will give you quotes from a whole bunch of them if you check off the box saying you want it. You get them in columns, and then you say, okay, I need a two-bedroom, one-bath home, or, you know, a twin room, or whatever I want, you know, whatever you want. And you may say what level of hotel you want to be in and such. It's always more expensive to go during conventions, during Easter, during holidays. You know, Easter's no problem if you do it in the right places. If you do it in, you know, Iraq, it doesn't matter. But if you do it in the Catholic country, it may be a problem. And if you do it in Rome, it's going to be a real problem. I came across something that said they had a list of the conventions in Las Vegas, and if you avoid convention weekends, you can get much cheaper hotel rooms. So it's a supply and demand thing, and this will vary from place to place, and from, it depends on how convenient the place is, depends on how nice the place is, it depends on how well reputed the place is, has it been there a while, et cetera. Can it be found? We had some cheap hotels, and one of them we couldn't even find in the middle of the night, and there are problems with the way they manage their streets in Delhi, but nobody can find anything because there are 12 million people, there are 24 million or some such ridiculous number, and they don't use numbers on the streets as consistently as we do, and you can't tell that you're in the right block for this thing, and it's a mess. But the world is like that. Not everybody does it neatly and orderly and stuff like that. But you can Google Seville, And they will have a travel agency group of people that deal with... There are a lot of agencies that are not American. There are a lot of people who specialize in their own country or their own region. And you can Google Travel Seville in April or whatever month it happens to be, 2018. There'll be places, and if you get it in advance, you may get a halfway decent price. If you try to get it the last minute, you really have a problem. Yeah.
This is a short one. Just a word of advice. If you have to get shots or travel out of the country, be sure you have the politically correct name of the country to which you are going. Paul and I went to South Africa, and I went to get shots, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "South Africa." "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to South Africa." Well, we went through this three times until I finally realized Republic of South Africa, and then she knew how to look it up and give me the correct shots.
And CDC will have that information on their website, but she's quite right. You have to have the correct name of the... Go on, Mark.
For those who have Kaiser health insurance, Kaiser has a travel clinic. You can just call them up. They will know exactly what shots, what prescriptions you need. For example, I needed to take malaria pills and to get a couple shots for typhoid and something else. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're set up for that.
Okay. Well, and sometimes you have problems with the providers, probably other than Kaiser. I went to a travel medicine guy who knew a lot and everything like that, but he wouldn't take Medicare, and he wouldn't take anything. He's an independent person. He figures that this is not necessary. This is something that you're doing voluntarily, so why should your medical insurance cover this $150 shot? But then I discovered that I could get free ones from the LA County Health Department. I needed three shots for hepatitis B, and the first one cost a fortune, but the other two were free just because I had a Medicare card. So it varies. You need to sometimes shop around, and that's something that you can do if you not use a doctor who will not take some sort of payment that you want to make, if you can help it.
We are so grateful for Jim and Stephanie. Can we give them a round of applause?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So on behalf of the board, I'm presenting both of them with a certificate of thanks, and that adjourns our meeting tonight.